Hello, good morning and welcome. My name is Graham and I'm delighted to be with you all today as we start these journeys into asking what it is to be really free. Free from constraints and conformity, free from constant testing and peer pressure, and free from unsafe and uninspiring school environments. Free to let children explore the world around them through play, cooperation and inspiration. Free to let children learn naturally, following their innate curiosity and endless creativity.
We come to see that learning isn't about doing well at school. It's about engaging with life.
I'll be here for you, and I will serve you, and I will carry your message around.
As many families now are beginning to see the endless joy and sometimes hardship of having your kids around all day, supporting any homeschooling adventure is absolutely essential. This comes in many forms, from setting up a homeschool co-op, sharing 3 days a week with like-minded families, seeking out local experts to provide group workshops, or entering the endless world of passionate tutors online, teaching anything from calculus to planting garlic in a personalised, productive and rewarding way. One such light in this world of homeschooling support is today's guest, Shauna Wrightswich. Shauna has dedicated her life to giving teens and young adults the support and encouragement they need to further their education, whether pursuing individual passions for inner joy or getting their high school diploma in subjects they actually enjoy, taking just a few months instead of the many years wasted in the traditional school model. So if you're not happy with society telling you your child at 5, 7 or 11 years old should know this or pursue that career, then stop. Let's join Shauna and give them the respect they have always deserved to pursue their passions at their own pace and be children for as long as they can, as long as happiness reigns and their soul fulfills. So thank you so much for joining us today, Shauna.
Thank you for having me, Graham.
That's great. Yeah, as I understand, you do have many different hats over there in the homeschooling world in California, so we'll get into those. I'd just like to start off by inviting most guests just to give us a brief overview of their own school experience. Was it positive or negative going back? And looking back, what do you find useful that you use today?
You know, interestingly, I did not have a very bad regular schooling experience for me. I did all right in school. I swam. I did leadership. I went to UCLA. I did crew. I mean, I kind of took advantage of all the other things that school had to offer. And for me, looking back, it wasn't a terrible experience other than a little bit of bullying here and there in middle school.
Right. And were you in the public school system?
It wasn't actually terrible. Pardon?
Were you in the public school system throughout?
Yeah, I was in the public school system. And then I went to public college. I went to UCLA. And then in my 30s, I went back to school and got a master's degree in marine science for fun.
Okay.
But interestingly, did not have a terrible experience. But I did teach from basically my whole adult life, other than those few years of master's degree for fun. In my 30s, I've been teaching in public, private, Peace Corps, all different schools. And I have seen that it's not a great experience for probably a majority of the kids.
Right. So your change of attitude came from the teaching perspective rather than actually your own educational background.
Yes, and seeing how kids, and watching kids grow up through school, not being great students, but then being wonderful adults, or not being, like, really realizing that school was not the only path towards a meaningful adult life.
Right. So you've been teaching or mentoring homeschooling kids since 2002. What was the change when you started the journey of homeschooling?
Well, I was in my mid-30s, and I had just gotten out of that master's in marine biology, and I was looking around at jobs I could do, and I kind of fell into this homeschooling teaching job, and it was kind of back in the teacher world. And I mean, as a teacher in California, you're paid, you know, you're in a union and you're actually paid better than scientists in general. So I was like, okay, well, I could work 30, 30 weeks a year and get paid 50,000, or work 50 weeks a year and get paid 30,000, and I'll just go with a higher pay job. Sure. But once I did that, it was a really wonderful, I was very interested, and I still am interested in Indigenous knowledge. And I felt like this is kind of an Indigenous way to raise children. It was very multi-aged. There were kind of elders in the community who I learned from. There were parents and grandparents and children, from babies to teenagers, in this community of homeschoolers that I worked with for 10 years. And I had my own babies in that 10-year span. And it was, I just watched a lot of kids grow up and be successful and happy. And they were really, really happy kids. That was something I really noticed about these kids growing up in this program. And they were, you know, I would hear just out in the world about kids swearing or kids being bullies. And I'm like, wow, this has just not happened in this community. Right. These children are happy. I almost never hear swearing even. I very rarely see any instances of bullying. And I just became a convert in those years. That was right. Kind of where I grew up as a homeschool mentor. In those 10 years I worked in that program.
Yeah, it does seem the age mixing and the having the elders and mentors around, that's so important, and it's something so missing from the traditional school model.
Age mixing, I find, is really key, because when you have a group of mixed ages, it's the older kids kind of, you know, help the younger kids. The younger kids aren't competing with the older kids. They're not going to compete. They just want to learn from them. So they are excited. Yeah, everyone just gets along so nice.
Yeah. So from that, did the Pacific Sands Academy, was that naturally born out of your experience?
Yeah, somewhat. I mean, that school started changing and becoming a little bit more test-based as the years went on. And also just personally, at that point I had a 2.5-year-old who really wasn't having it. And so I kind of needed to leave that. And my husband was working somewhere else. And so I kind of, for personal reasons, I needed to leave that program. And at the same time I left it, I developed Pacific Sands Academy. And we also have in Santa Cruz, where I live, Santa Cruz County, there's a man who does a similar program called Beach High School. I don't know if you've heard of that.
No.
And so I met with him and said, hey, I want to do what you're doing. And his name is Wes Beach. He's wonderful. And he's getting pretty close to wanting to retire and slow down himself. But he mentored me a little bit through the early stages of this is how you do it. And it's been a kind of slowish start. Yeah, you know, I mean, I started with 2 students and then I had about 5 and I'm up to about 14. I have a couple students that have stayed with me, and then they, even after they graduate, they want to keep meeting. So I have a hard time counting my exact numbers, but
that's great. They don't want to let you go. That's great. And so how would you say you would sum up your students? They come to you, are they all homeschoolers or is it a mixture?
No, there's been a few homeschoolers who have come up, but actually the homeschoolers are pretty savvy in California. I mean, the deeply homeschooled families. And so they kind of know their own paths through what they want to do for high school. What I more am have developed into is a rescue boat for high schoolers who are anxious, unhappy, miserable. And so I've had people calling me, my daughter is smart, but she's so anxious and she is like, doesn't want to go to school, and her anxiety levels are, you know, depression and this and that. And those are the kids that have been, then they come to my program and they first off, they just get out of the system. And that's the main thing that I think leads them to happiness. Then I meet with them. I mean, this is one way I work. And then I'll meet with them 1 to 4 times a month, usually a couple times a month or once a month. And we set goals. Like, what are you interested in? Let's talk about, and a lot of them, makeup or art or skateboarding or whatever. And I'm like, let's set goals around skateboarding. What is it you want to learn this month? What do you want to do? So we set goals around their interests. And I'm able to, at the end of that, kind of create a transcript based on what they've been interested in doing and wanting to do. And then sometimes they're like, you know, I really want math to be on my transcript. So then we think of, here's some ways that you can learn math that are more interesting than a traditional way.
Right, right.
So but really, I really try to, it's quite a transition for these kids because they're so used to school being all about a teacher telling you what to do. And I really harp on them that this is you. This is you now. You're in charge of your own education.
Right.
And
that's
which all of us adults are pretty much. We follow what we're interested in. If we want to learn something more, we go online usually and learn more about that thing. And so that's kind of how I mentor the kids.
Right. I know a lot of parents listening may be tempted with alternative options, and something will always come up. Well, how do they get tested, or how does that kind of path incorporate into if they wanted to go to college or into the workplace with a piece of paper?
So there's not really compulsory testing because it's a private school. So I don't have the year-to-year compulsory testing. If they want to take the SAT, then at that point, I've had kids, they're like, you know what, I want to take the SAT, so I'm going to start studying for that. That's going to be what I do this month. I'm going to study for the SAT, or I want to take AP calculus. And they will, on their own, I mean, that's part of the mentorship, like each part of the goals that when we meet is like, okay, I'm working through my AP test. I have a couple students like that who are very high level working on AP classes, but they just didn't, for whatever reason, school was not working for them. So they came to me, and then they're working on studying for their SATs or their AP tests, and they do that. They still are able to test in those ways. My program is not in California. This is another, I think, quirk to California. We have the A through G system. So if you want to go to UCLA or UC Berkeley or one of the Cal State schools, you need to have A through G classes. I do not offer those, because there's a certain kind of accreditation thing that you need with those. And I don't offer those. But it's still, you can still graduate from my program, go to community college for 2 years, and then go to any of the big schools in California. And I and people have just graduated from my program and applied to colleges and gotten in. Not so much at the public colleges in California, but in other states, they don't really have the A through G system.
Right, right. Is there anything, any sort of advice you might be able to give? Do colleges look for anything in specific to prove that they, all test scores can say something, but is there a way, such as writing a blog or having a creative endeavor, is there anything colleges generally look for in that respect?
One graduation requirement is that the students create a website that highlights their interests and passions. And that website is the thing that's important to me about that is that they can use it for a college application or for their next endeavor, get a good job or whatever. They could say, hey, well, here's my website. I have not actually closely looked at the college applications recently, but I think with everything moving towards everything is online now. I mean, to have your own blog or to have your own YouTube channel or to have your own website is a useful thing to have to get into colleges. Anything that you could creatively produce is interesting. And I also think just interviewing, I mean, and writing interestingly and taking an alternative path. My husband taught for a few years at Chapman University and also at UC Santa Cruz and UC Davis, and his comment was always that all the students care about is what's on the test. There's very few students that are really interested in learning for learning's sake. And I do have a few professor-ish type friends, and some of them say that they will kind of have this conversation with their other friends. Oh, how many homeschoolers did you get in your class? How many homeschoolers? Because homeschoolers are kind of famous for being in classes in college because they're interested in learning. Yeah, and just learn because they're interested rather than because they think that that's what's going to be on the test or that's what is important. I mean, actually, to go back to your very original question, in a way, that was sort of my damage. So I was a good student because I was able to learn what was going to be on the test most of the time, not all the time. And I did fairly well, but I wasn't learning because I was super interested. I did do that a little bit, but not much. You know, I didn't take advantage as much as I could have in the really cool opportunities that college offered academically, because I was just more interested in just passing the classes.
These short-term courses, you can be taught so much in a matter of months, where in theory you would have spent years learning the same amount. Do you have any?
Yeah.
Have you got any students that have come to you just not really liking one subject in particular, but because they want to do something else, they have to do that?
You know, I have had students. I feel like one student who I just have been communicating with. I mean, he came to me not liking school, hating school. And he was an amazing history buff. Like, I couldn't believe the books he had read. He was kind of teaching me about Winston Churchill and this and that. And then he left my program, graduated, and later on was asking for a reference to get into the College of Music, Berklee College of Music. I said, you weren't even interested in music. He's like, I know, but it opened my mind. I mean, just kind of having this, not opening my mind, but being released from the school pressure allowed him to really pursue his own interests. And now he said he found his passion in guitar, and now he's going to college and at the Berklee School of Music. I think it's more been a release to follow your interests, and reading over the years too, like kids not reading. And then suddenly they're reading Harry Potter, like within a matter of a couple months, like a 12-year-old, for example, not being able to read, but then suddenly something clicks and they're reading Harry Potter. In fact, I had another kid who didn't really know his times tables until he was probably 12-ish or 13, and he started really getting into math around then, and now he's pursuing a PhD in mathematics.
Wow. Okay.
So, you know, I just feel like we're so brainwashed in our society to think our 5-year-olds kind of are telling us what they're going to do, and they're, oh, you're really good at math, or you're an artist, or whatever. And instead of really letting them figure out who they are as children and being okay with them not reading or doing math early, and just kind of helping them develop that kind of strong core of who they are and their imaginations and letting those grow when that's the age that you do that, I think that sets us up for a lot more success than, oh, my 5-year-old could do algebra, you know, that kind of thing. There is that sort of, you know, pressure on parents and kids these days, especially around the Silicon Valley.
Oh, yes. I imagine. Well, that's great. Thank you so much for taking through all those options. I know some parents may not want to go through the whole unschooling route. They might want a bit more structure, and, you know, just to have another perspective of having a mentorship program alongside homeschooling is always a great option.
With Pacific Sands, that is one of the benefits. Like, they're not that comfortable. I mean, I often tell parents, you know, one of the things about being enrolled in Pacific Sands that's kind of nice is you can tell your aunt or your mother or your, you know, sister or whatever, yeah, well, I just took Joey out of school and enrolled him in another school. And so it's just less pressure, because there's so much pressure, like, when you're allowing your kids to unschool from your own family and your own life, that, like, what? You just let them not go to school? And so it's kind of a crutch. I mean, that's why in some ways I think I get more of the school, I'm more of a school life raft than like the homeschoolers and the unschoolers who are deeply already doing that, they're pretty savvy and don't really necessarily need it. But it is what's nice for them sometimes, and they sometimes do come to me, is that it's really nice to have somebody who's not mom meeting with their kids and helping them figure out their interests and what are their next steps towards getting towards those interests.
Yeah, that sounds like a real asset. I just wondered if you could end just quickly by letting our listeners know, parents that might be unhappy with the public school system that they're involved in, they might be looking for alternatives, but for whatever reason they feel overwhelmed, or they feel fear from their family or friends of taking their kids out of the government schooling system. What would you say to those? What are some practical steps parents and their kids obviously could go through together?
Well, first I would look at what are the other private schools in the area, and are they affordable? And if they're, I mean, I actually put my kids in a private school that for a while in our area that had like circus arts, and that was a really great match for my older daughter for sure. So I mean, that is one option. And then really, and I understand that for a lot of people, private schools aren't even affordable or anything. But then the next thing to do is look for homeschool groups And park days, homeschool park days, are a really great place to get to know people. And I think our generation of parents uses Facebook quite a bit, and the kids don't seem to, but we do it. And that's one way to find homeschool park days in your area. And I think that when you can find a tribe and a group of other moms who have kids your age, your kids' age, and just talk to them. What do you do? How do you do it? What are the local homeschooling programs that can support you? It is hard to homeschool in a vacuum. It's hard to homeschool by yourself. We are social creatures, and we need our tribes. So if you could find that tribe, that's really important. And finding that I think homeschool park days are kind of a really important way. Also, there are homeschooling groups like on Facebook, so you could look at different unschooling, homeschooling groups on Facebook and kind of getting to know people and looking for your tribe there. But it's really nice to be able to sit around and do face-to-face hangout time with other families. As far as high school goes, I mean, high school is really, the necessity of high school is a myth. You could pull your kid out of high school, homeschool them, graduate them early if you want, through either Pacific Sands or on your own. There are ways to do it just on your own without even using a program like mine. Give your kid a break. Let them kind of incubate or do whatever they need to do for a while, and then start community college at 18. And I think most community colleges throughout the country have to take 18-year-olds. And let them start over then. Give them a break and then let them start with even 18, 19, 20, do community college, and then transfer to some regular school. And you'll never know you went through this hard period of schooling time.
That's great. That's great advice. Yeah, so many great insights and options just to take the pressure off. You know, seems so much pressure to all this schooling, all these hours, and so many more options out there. So thanks so much for joining us today, Shauna. If people want to get in touch with you, how's the best way?
Probably look at my website, www.pacificsandsacademy.com, and you can schedule a free meeting with me, and I'll talk to you. And as I work with kids all over the world, they don't have to be in California.
Okay, that's great. Well, thanks once again, and yeah, hope to speak to you again in the future.
Okay, thank you, Graham. Thanks very much for having me.
You're
welcome.
It's
been a pleasure.
Thank you. I hope you got as much out of that talk as I did. An excellent introduction to where we are now and where we could be. Please check your inbox. We'll be back in touch very shortly for much more inspiration for you to start your journey into homeschooling, child-led learning, and liberty. If you know of any families looking for alternatives to school, please give them our information, homeschoolingandliberty.com, and they are more than welcome to join us on this journey. We'll see you real soon. Cheers.
A new earth is beckoning now, calling us with its new song. Yeah, you gotta listen what it has to say. It will guide you along. Yeah, you gotta put yourself first every time. And she will catch you when you fall. You gotta love yourself from within. Love yourself till you're full, yeah, yeah. You gotta take the power back. Reclaim all that we are.
Ask yourself this question. What is so amazing and wonderful at government-run schools that you would send your children there? To be taught by essentially strangers, a curriculum over which you have no authority or control. How would you like to be a part of your children's learning? You were a part of your children's learning as colors, how she ties her shoes, what is a butterfly, why mommy loves her. Why would you not want to continue to be a part of that?
Look at what you've been told for so long that you have to say, well, maybe they're not right and maybe your instincts are right. Unlearn those things.
This is about human rights and endowing children with dignity and agency and autonomy. And then guess what? As a side benefit, it works.